Well, since the recent passing of the Queen, we are all waiting for the next significant event to happen in the royal family. I wonder, can you guess what this next significant event might be? Well, if you'd guess the coronation, you'd be right. We are all waiting for the appropriate time of mourning to pass before the coronation of the new king. And this is a significant event where a huge gathering will be called, a highly traditional service will be done, and the king will be crowned on his throne as the new king of the Commonwealth. No doubt this will be a history-making event. Yet, for all the symbolism and the significance that this event will have, I want to draw your attention to a very special moment in the coronation service that I find very interesting. You see, after swearing a number of oaths, the monarch is then presented with a Bible, and then these words are said. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. Clearly, the Bible is a very important book to be presented to a new monarch at the coronation service. Now, we all belong to a church, the Anglican Church, that stems from this English tradition. Originating in the Church of England, the Anglican Church also makes much of the Bible. As we gather in church week by week, we hear multiple readings from the Bible. We hear preaching from the Bible. And some of us even consider the Bible so important that we gather midweek to study the Bible in Bible studies. And of course, as a diocese, we also have the same commitment to the Bible. The mission of the diocese is to make the Word of God fully known. Our liturgy is filled with the Bible. And we even use a lectionary that orders the readings from the whole Bible for every single day of the year. Clearly, the Bible is very important to us. But why? Why this book? Why not another book? Perhaps one that's shorter and easier to understand. Maybe a popular book like The Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter. I'm sure if we got up and read those books every single week, there'd be lots of people that would happily join us and listen to those stories. After all, they're so popular. Maybe not so short, but definitely shorter than the Bible. Why not? Why the Bible? Well, it might be true that the Bible doesn't share the same level of popularity in our culture. After all, many in our culture think the Bible, well, it's just another book. Yes, it's old and maybe historical in some respects, but that's about it. And others in our culture think of it as some kind of contradictory and dated religious text, which at its best can inspire us to love and charity, and at worst leads us into hatred and division and religious extremism. So if that's what our culture thinks about the Bible, why do we keep going on about it? What on earth could be so good about the Bible that we just make so much about it? We read it every week. We even present it to the monarchs. What's so good about the Bible? Well, in our reading today, as we continue in Paul's second letter to Timothy, we're going to see how Paul commends the Bible to Timothy as an indispensable part of his ministry. And so come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my suffering, the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Paul here continues to remind Timothy of his example in his apostolic ministry. How he has, with all that he has, with all of his life, pursued the mission of Jesus. against all trials and oppositions and tribulations and persecutions, Paul has continued to endure all these things because the Lord was with him. And so Paul reminds Timothy of his example and how God is faithful to sustain him in ministry. And why is he telling this to Timothy? Well, look at verse 12. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul wants Timothy to know the reality that he is likely to face. It's the reality that Paul faced. It's the reality that many of the apostles face. And it's likely what Timothy will also face as he seeks to live a godly life following Christ Jesus. As Jesus said himself, the servant is not greater than the master. And since our master, Jesus Christ, throughout his ministry was persecuted and then killed, all who seek to follow him will likely share a similar fate. Now, that doesn't mean that any one of us is likely to die for our faith in Australia. Praise the Lord, we are not at that stage in our culture. But as we've seen in recent weeks, it's pretty likely, though, that we are going to face some intolerance, some antagonism, and perhaps even be forced to make difficult choices in regards to our faith. We'll have to choose between holding on to our faith and living it out in Jesus Christ, or maybe some of our friends, maybe our reputation in the public sphere, and perhaps even our job. You see, this is the difficult reality for all who seek to follow Jesus. Paul wants Timothy to know that. And we are all to know this too. Obviously not to the same degree, but if we seek to follow Jesus, we need to count the cost. And yet, it is still better than the alternative, as Paul continues in verse 13. But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. Yes, it is difficult to follow our Lord Jesus Christ in the world, and we will have opposition. But the alternative is to simply be deceived and deceiving others, to be lost and wandering around in the darkness in the world, not knowing which way to go. But as we follow Christ, the light of the world, yes, it is difficult, but we know that he is the way. Paul then turns to charge Timothy that he might continue on the path that he's been walking up until this point. In verse 14, he says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Well, to put it simply, Paul is telling Timothy, continue on in your faith. The faith that was passed on to you from your mother and grandmother, the faith that you grew up in as Paul took him in under his wing, the faith that he has in Christ Jesus that comes from his knowledge of the sacred writings. Continue in that faith. But what are these sacred writings that Paul mentions here? Well, simply they are the Old Testament writings. Because at the time Paul wrote this letter, the New Testament writings had not yet been completed or compiled. Interestingly, look at what he says about these Old Testament scriptures. They are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm sure that we would all recognize that the New Testament is able to do this. After all, within the New Testament, we have the Gospels, which show us the life, teaching, and ministry of Jesus. And we also have the writings of the apostles, Paul, Peter, John, and others also, who point us very clearly to Jesus. But how does the Old Testament do this? How do the writings in the Old Testament point us to Jesus? You see, we could probably read over it and think, okay, Genesis, some nice stories in that. Exodus, again, kind of inspiring. Leviticus, I'm not so sure. There can be some pretty interesting stories in the Old Testament, and we might wonder, well, what has this got to do with our faith? And yet here we see Paul saying, these are able to instruct you in the knowledge of the faith to know Christ. You see, there are some amongst the church, in the Anglican Church, even broader, that simply believe the Old Testament is largely irrelevant. And it can be quite easy to see that when you read some of the old books and you don't really know how to connect them. You see, many people will think, oh, it's old, not just in name, but it's also outdated and irrelevant. It's very obscure and hard to understand. But here we can see Paul, he commends their use to Timothy, that through them we can know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. You see, the Old and the New Testament point us to Jesus. Old and new are both given by God to the church in order to reveal his will and his way, which is ultimately the way that Jesus shows us, that through faith in him we have eternal life. So let's not favour one testament over the other. You see, without the old, we wouldn't have the new, because all of the old is pointing us to Jesus who brings in the new. And without the new, well then, we would likely all just be adherents of the Jewish religion, because the Old Testament scriptures are just the Jewish Bible. But when we hold them together, we have the whole counsel of God. All of God's sacred scriptures which reveal Jesus to us. And so that's why we are to read both old and new and hold them together, because they reveal God's way. Paul continues in verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Well, once again, all scripture within the context of this letter is again referring to all the Old Testament. And yet we would also include the New Testament in this category of being inspired by God. But what does it mean that the scriptures are inspired? Well, in the original language, the word used means literally that the scriptures are God-breathed. Now, this doesn't mean that God spoke and then these books just flew out of the sky into the hands of Paul or John or Peter. But it happened in this way, according to the Apostle Peter. He says this: first of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. As you can see, God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, moved these people to speak and to write his words in the scriptures. Just like any one of us would pick up a pen to write down the thoughts and ideas in our minds onto the paper, God used each of these authors in the Bible to write his words down for us. And Peter also says that Paul's writing is on the same level as these inspired writings. He says this: therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, speaking of this as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. As you can see, the writings of Paul, Peter, and all the apostles are on the same level as the inspired Old Testament scriptures. They are all inspired by the same Holy Spirit. One God, one Holy Spirit, inspiring many different authors at different times, but all communicating a similar and familiar message as they all point towards God's Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God inspired the minds of Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and other Old Testament writers. And the same is true for Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Paul, and all of the other New Testament authors. All of the scriptures are God-breathed, God-inspired, God-given and preserved for us, so that we might know who God is and what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. This is why the Bible is so important. Why they are, as it's said in the coronation service, the wisdom of God. This is the royal law, and these are the lively oracles of God. Because in the Bible, we don't just find the words of dead men, but they are the words of the living God, who uses these words for his saving purposes. Well, now that we can see how Paul cements the place of the scriptures as the highest source of authority in all matters of faith and as an indispensable part of ministry, he then instructs Timothy on what he must do with these scriptures, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing at his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry. You see, Paul calls Timothy to preach the scriptures, to preach the central message of the scriptures, which Paul summarized for us last week, is Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Or in other words, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and through faith in him, we are saved. This is the central message that all of the scriptures point us to. And just as Timothy is instructed to proclaim it always, we are to do the same. In season and out of season. When people want to hear it, and even when people don't want to hear it. The message of God's good news is so good that we must keep preaching it. That is, until Jesus comes again, when the good news will be made obvious to all. And so, brothers and sisters, as we all recognize the importance of the scriptures in the way that we spend our time here in the church, let's not leave it there. After all, the scriptures are too important to be only engaged with on a Sunday. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon famously said, "Visit many books, but live in the Bible." Why? Because in the Holy Scriptures, we find wisdom. We find the royal law. We find the lively oracles of God. In the Holy Scriptures, we find Jesus. And as we read, study, and pray over them, God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, transforms us. And he molds us to be made more and more into the image of Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, if you haven't yet done so, let me encourage you. Pick up your Bibles and read it. Read it on your own. Read it in a group. Read it with your friends and your family. Read it. Pray over it. And learn more about this God that you love. And indeed, the God who dearly loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who desires to reveal yourself to us, and that you do so through your holy scriptures, your divinely inspired scriptures, through your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we have such a precious treasure in the Bible. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us not to take it for granted, but to take it off the shelf, wherever it may be in our house, and to pick it up and to read it. To come to it humbly, knowing that these are your words, that you are revealing yourself to us in these words. And we pray that you give us wisdom and understanding and faith as we read your word. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.